Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
2024 could be a very eventful year in the world of Alec Murdaugh, as if 2023 was not already. We could potentially see another Alec Murdaugh murder trial if, in fact, his defense gets their way in a hearing that's scheduled for later in the month of January, arguing whether or not there was jury tampering by the clerk of court, Becky Hill. The evidence continues to mount, at least the evidence against her credibility. That's one of the key things that's being looked at right now. Joining me to discuss, Bob Motta, Defense Diaries podcast host and defense attorney. Bob, when we're looking at this going into the late January hearing that's going to take place, I want to understand exactly what can and cannot be brought up, because this is not a jury trial. This is a hearing. This is a judge making a decision. And normally in a trial, we'll have discovery, we'll have this or that's allowed in or not allowed in. There's a lot of things that don't look good for Becky Hill that go beyond just the allegations of jury tampering that really do seem to sink her credibility. Are we going to see all of that brought into this hearing later in January?
The defense is sure going to try, but ultimately a lot of these issues, that's what's going up in front of the South Carolina Supreme Court, these exact issues as to what they're going to be allowed to bring in terms of trying to attack her credibility. You know, I mean, because obviously the things with, you know, that went on with her son, you know, obviously that the plagiarism in the book, you know, those are collateral issues in terms of they don't really directly relate to the case at the bar, meaning that they have really nothing to do with whether or not she was tampering with the jury per se. But as you stated, it does go to her credibility.
Yeah.
Like, can we trust anything she says? So that's one of the things that's going to get ruled on by basically the Supreme Court in Carolina, South Carolina, to figure out what they're going to allow them to bring in. I have a feeling when you're talking about a case like this, where it's a basically he said, they said, or she said, they said, that credibility is going to be, you know, a major factor in determining, you know, what's what, you know. And I know people aren't going to want to hear this. And the other argument, and I don't even want to jump ahead because I'm anticipating that you're going to ask me. So that's ultimately, we'll find out, is the answer. We don't know at this point. Certainly the defense is trying to bring all of it in order to attack her credibility. And obviously the state is trying to keep it out, saying that it's collateral and it's more prejudicial than it is probative.
Yeah.
So we'll get a ruling on that, you know, pretty quick. We'll
yeah,
see.
And the
I
thing is, I mean,
imagine the Supreme Court will turn around with it.
With the fact that this is not, it's not a jury trial. This is a judge that's going to go in and make a ruling on this. It's not like she doesn't have knowledge of all these allegations where with a jury, they may not have any knowledge of some of the allegations. She's going to go in and know these things already. She'll have to make a impartial decision, but she's going to have the knowledge, especially now. The latest one that has come out, of course, the plagiarism, which to me, as you read the story on how that all transpired and her co-author being unaware of this, but she did it. She admits she did it. It was tight on time, on a deadline, on a self-published book, which I find amusing. It's just like,
yeah,
how dumb? I mean, how dumb can you get, I guess, when it comes to being Becky Hill? And if she's making this poor of decisions over here, I mean, I guess, yeah, that's where you look at it and go, well, what's the likelihood you're not doing it in many other places as well, intentional or not?
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you can always, it's greed, you know, the greed is why she's doing this. You know, she was involved in a very high profile case. She got sucked up into the excitement of it all and she saw dollar signs, man, you know, and if you live in this country long enough, you know that money drives people to do crazy things that are obviously against, you know, every instinct that you may have. Otherwise, you know, greed is a powerful thing. And clearly to me, you know, some kind of like low level celebrity and money is what drove her to do things that were just nonsensical. I mean, she had a great gig,
yeah.
You know, she had a real good state job. She would have had she gave it all up, you know, to try to get this book out there thinking she's going to get rich on it and kind of backfired, you know. But like, to go back to your earlier point, the reason that it matters, because remember, like ultimately this hearing is leading into like a bigger appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, they want to make sure, the judge wants to make sure that they rule on this properly in terms of what to allow in, you know, because that in and of itself could become an appellate issue. You know, if the judge rules improperly in terms of what should have been allowed in and what shouldn't have, in terms of being able to bring it up during the hearing, because that's all on record, whether there's a jury or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And whatever that decision is, because ultimately, you know, and this is what I was going to say, I think the guy's going to end up with a new trial, because
yeah,
there's two arguments here. You know, the state is obviously saying that, look, even if she did tamper, okay, that they have to prove, the defense has the burden of proving that affected the verdict of the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense is saying, no, that's not how the law is. If she tampered, if we could prove that she tampered at all, the guy gets a new trial.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the defense is correct in that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't create a slippery slope where, oh, well, yeah, she tampered, but it didn't. I mean,
yeah, how do you argue that?
You can't argue it.
Yeah.
How do you go back in time to the exact moment when she was tampering to see where somebody's mindset was at that moment in time and then expect that person to be able to know whether or not what she said affected them?
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. It's an impossibility. There's a no tamper rule for a reason. When I have a jury impaneled, if I'm in the bathroom, you know, and the judge always gives the speech, you know, well, if you see the lawyer in the elevator or in the bathroom and they don't say anything to you, don't think that they're being rude. You know, just understand that they have to be extremely careful, because there can't be any kind of indication or any kind of scent of impropriety.
Yeah.
In that we're trying to discuss anything with the jury. You know, you can't do it. It can't be allowed. So, you know, it's a huge waste of resources. I think ultimately they'll come to the same conclusion, but I think we're gonna have to do this thing again, man. That's what my gut is.
And with the hearing that is coming up and the possibility that Becky Hill may actually be facing some sort of charges of some sort for the improprieties of her office, who knows what could possibly happen here with the plagiarism allegations? Is she going to be able to testify at this hearing, or is she going to have to plead the fifth because of those other potential issues that are sitting on the back burner for her?
It's a good question, man. You know, if I'm her attorney, I'm thinking long and hard about, you know, if I'm her attorney with respect to potential criminal liability,
yeah,
I'm thinking long and hard about whether or not you know, I'm advising her to testify. Now, you know, she's going to get up there and make some admissions, you know, whether or not those will reach to a criminal level. I doubt it. Like, I'm sure that her attorney would advise her, like, you know, look, I was making offhand comments, you know, that was it. Like, I wasn't trying to sway the jury. So I think ultimately the state's going to probably bully her into testifying, you know, and if she gets up there and for whatever reason takes the fifth, it's creating a nasty situation wherein, I mean, you can only infer one thing when somebody takes the fifth, that they've done something wrong, you know? Sure. So it would be like a white flag if she did, like they're waving the white flag and the state would be super upset about it. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. I fully anticipate she's going to get up there and testify and she'll minimize everything, you know, because remember the state's position. That's why I was talking about the state's position at this point is that it doesn't matter if she chatted him up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because ultimately it had no effect on what the jury decided. Ultimately. And, you know, and again, the defense has the opposite position of that, which I think is the correct position. Again, I'll restate that. I think ultimately, you know, this thing is going to go down and they're going to say, look, no one wants to spend the money again. You can thank Becky Hill for this, but our, you know, our county is going to have to pony up a huge amount of money to retry this case. Like Becky Hill is not going to be a popular person in that county. Like beyond like what she's not already.
Yeah.
Like when they have to start, because like people just don't understand, like people don't understand the concept of that these trials cost money, that clerks and judges and bailiffs and impaneling jurors and taking cops off the street and people testify, like it costs money. You know, the entire prosecution team, like having to dedicate all their time to retry a case that they've already tried successfully and they're getting paid for it. It's a huge waste of resources in terms of, you know, because it's really not being tried or retried on the grounds of the case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the frustrating thing. Be one thing if it was, you know, okay, well, we missed some evidence or there was a, you know, some evidence that shouldn't have come in, or we decided we're going to retry the case because we think that Judge Newman went too far afoot in allowing all that financial stuff to come in. And we think it tainted the, whatever the case may be, you know, if they landed on that in terms of saying, okay, look, we think that, you know, you went too far. We're going to have to retry this case and you're not going to be able to use that evidence this time. That's different. Yeah. This is like, this woman tampered with the jury and now you get a redo, you know, and they're clearly going to change strategy. Like if I'm the defense, there's no way I'm going in with the same strategy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have no obligation to retry the case in the same way that they tried it the first time, including whether or not, and I think that we talked about this probably back in the day when, you know, we were first hearing about this potentially happening, whether or not Murdoch would testify.
Yeah.
I mean, like if I'm Poot and Griffin, man, I'm like, dude, no, like, you know, ultimately it's your decision, but don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like your testimony is what got you convicted. Like people, once you got on the stand, they knew, you know, that you could lie with like a blank slate on, you know, you're a total sociopath. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I fully anticipate we're going back on that one, buddy.
Going to be very interesting to watch. If in fact it does go that direction, do you anticipate the judge that's overseeing this to make the decision here in that hearing at the end of January for a new retrial? Or is this something you think it's going to go through a couple different hearings before that sort of decision is ultimately made?
I mean, it depends on how that thing goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it very well could end up in that particular hearing that they make the decision that, look, this is getting kicked back.
Yeah.
We're kicking it back. You know, we're sorry, everybody, but you could thank Becky Hill because that's why we're here. Yeah. I mean, it could definitely end up because, I mean, look at it. It's at the highest level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like ultimately, if you're going through the appellate process and you get rejected at the, you know, at the appellate level, you're then trying to go to the state Supreme Court level anyway. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And ultimately, if they're the ones who are going to kick it back, so they kind of skipped a step, you know, so yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. But I would not be surprised if it gets remanded, if they find that the law is in the favor of the defense here and they find that the facts support the allegations.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.